Pastor Jonathan, why don't you come and give us a couple of minutes of greetings? Say hello.
I would like you to stand up on your feet, please. I was telling one of us here this morning that there is a 24-hour miracle that God wants to drop in our midst this morning. Nobody say amen.
Amen.
There is a 24-hour miracle. As your eyes are closed and your hands are lifted to God, I would like you to know that God is able, no matter what. We serve an able God. And the king went to the den and asked, "Oh, Daniel, did the Lord that you serve continually, was it able to deliver thee from the lions?" We'd like you to know that the God that you come to serve here continually is able to deliver you. Therefore, I pray this morning, no matter what that is holding you bound, I command the grips of fear be broken in the name of Jesus. I command that the grips of fear, the torture of the fear of death, I command be broken now. I say be broken now. I say be broken now. If you believe, say amen.
Amen.
Every delay in your life has come to an end.
Amen.
I command that the powers of delay, delay to fruitfulness, delay to healing, delay to delivery, I command the holds and the chains of delay in your life be shattered now.
Amen.
If you believe, lift up your hand and say amen.
Amen.
I pray that within 24 hours, receive the miracle.
Amen.
Receive the miracle.
Amen.
Within 24 hours, receive that miracle.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed. Put your believing hands together for Jesus if you will. You might be seated. God bless you. I'm so honored. I'm very, very honored to be in your midst this morning. Hallelujah. Your pastor is a wonderful man of God. He came to Nigeria through my beautiful wife and Deacon of that called Philip. Pastor
Philip,
you know, and he came to our church and was a mighty blessing to us. So I'm thanking you for releasing him to come to Nigeria and to bless us. I count myself so privileged to be here this morning, and I bring you greetings from Abuja, Nigeria. I want to thank God for Ian and his beautiful wife for taking care of me through the pastor and the pastor's wife. God richly bless you. Put your hands together for Jesus. God bless
you. Amen. Thank you. Please.
Thank you. Okay, I just want to share quickly what the activity packs are all about today. Who likes receiving gifts? Everyone does, don't they? Well, God's gift to the church is one of grace. And that's the theme for today's activity pack. So in it, you will find a sheet that looks like this. There's a colouring activity where a picture gets revealed and a word search. But there's also an activity that looks like this, which I think is lovely. And Kerry has prepared this. The idea is that you are the person in the middle and you have a really good think about which two people you want either side of you, that you are going to share God's grace and kindness with.
That's
and
good.
How can you pray for them? So maybe you could have a picture on one side and prayers and thoughts on the other, but you decide two activities, and Bev and I will bring your packs to you now.
Thank you. Unfortunately, that is just for the children. Adults, you will have to listen to me. Just, yeah, you can have it if that's fine. Have there been times in your life where you've needed courage? I think it's true of all of us. Maybe times where you faced a boss that's been quite intimidating, or a colleague, where you've kind of had to stand up. Maybe times, for some of you, I know it's true, where you've had to leave family behind and move to another country. That's not easy, is it? This is the first time Bishop Jonathan has seen his wife in 2.5 years. I made sure he hugged her first before me. He did. Maybe at times you've had to leave a comfortable job in order to pursue a dream. All of those things require courage. And do you know what? That's not just true in our normal life. That's true in our spiritual lives as well. If we're going to move forward with God, we need courage, don't we? We do. And the good news is that God gives it to us. It's possible to have courage because one of the key verses in an early church leader, Paul, says this: "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." In the old money, it's power, love, and a sound mind. The Amplified Version says this, and I love this: "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control." See, it's not just all about God. We have a responsibility in that as well. There is that element of self-discipline to bring our fears under control. And as we continue in this series, we're looking at a series, if you join us as a guest, in person or online, we're looking at the series of building a healthy church. So we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. If you have your Bible, or if you have it on your phone or your iPad, it's Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read a couple of verses together and then explain some of that. Paul, the early church leader, writes this: "When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles," that is non-Jews, "assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles, as I wrote to you briefly earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I've written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he's revealed it to his holy apostles and the prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him, spreading this good news." And that's true for all of us. "Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain this to everyone, this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in all its rich variety to the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which we carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored." Paul talks in this passage about the grace of God. And I want to draw out just three simple things this morning. The grace of God means that we have the courage to live for Jesus. See, we're living in difficult times, aren't we? But you know what? It wasn't any easier for Paul, the early church, what was going on there. In fact, they were living under a dictator. They were living under this guy called Nero. And when Paul's writing, he's in prison. about AD 60, 62, and if you know anything of history or history of the Romans, then around AD 64, that famous kind of proverb that Nero fiddled while Rome burned. History suggests that it was Nero who set fire to Rome and blamed the Christians. So in this context, Paul's writing and he's saying, this dictator is on the rise. Does that sound familiar? This dictator of the Roman Empire is oppressing God's people. He's persecuting God's people. And so we need courage to live for God. And Paul says, this special responsibility, this administration of God's grace was given to me to make known God's plan. And we need courage. Paul was probably under house arrest at this time for 2 years. He's in house arrest and people can come to him, but he has Roman guards all the time monitoring him, overseeing him. You know, in Ukraine, some people have had to bunker down for a couple of weeks. Paul's under house arrest for 2 years. Even lockdown doesn't stop the gospel. Do you know why? Paul says in Philippians 4:22 that even some of Caesar's household became believers. Because guess what Paul did when he was in lockdown? Guess what Paul did with the Roman guards? He shared this privilege and responsibility of the message. He didn't sit back and suck his thumb and say, woe is me. He shared the message of the gospel, and because of that, people got to know. He needed courage. During this time, Paul actually wrote four letters that are now part of the New Testament. Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, and the letter we have, Ephesians. And probably he wrote more that weren't recorded. He was prolific at this time. His imprisonment allowed him to write so much of it. If you want to look at background, if some of you like history, I know that. Anthony, you're a history buff, aren't you? Acts 24 to 28 gives some of that background of the circumstance of Ephesians and the challenges he faced here. And so Paul's coming to his readers and said, this special grace was given to me, but I want you to know it wasn't all fluff and bunnies and kittens and knitting. It was a tough environment. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. No snooker table and a satellite television in Roman prisons. In fact, if people didn't bring you food, you starved to death. So you were dependent on people bringing you food in order to survive. And Paul says, this special responsibility was given to me. But he says, don't be discouraged because of my imprisonment. Read between the lines. He wasn't impressive, but God used him. And people are said, but this is Paul. Why is he in prison? Why would God do this in his life? And Paul says, this is all part of God's plan. This is all part of the mystery. And this mysterious plan that God reserved for the time of Jesus and then the apostles, this mystery that he brings Jewish believers and non-Jewish believers, Gentiles, together in one body. That's incredible. Because our world is filled with division, isn't it? Just scroll through any of your social media if you're on it. It's so divisive, isn't it? So many opinions, so much stuff, so much hate. As Taylor Swift sang, she's a young person, Keegan. Taylor Swift sang, the haters will hate. And they do, don't they? Even when it's good stuff, even when it's nice, the haters will hate. We live in a divided society over secondary issues. And God comes and says, I have a plan. And the plan is that in God's eternal purposes, there will be one body. There is one body. Jewish believers in Jesus and Gentile believers. That's the mystery of God. And why is that important? It's important because basically the Jews thought non-Jews and Gentiles were dogs. That's how they viewed them. I've only been to Israel once, but you see the Orthodox Jews walking around, they won't even make eye contact with you. They won't. Because to them, you're a dog, you're the least of the least. And unfortunately, because of the Jewish roots of the church, some of these believers who came to faith in Jesus And some of the Gentiles picked up this attitude that you're less than, you're unimportant. And in the Roman Empire, there's thought that there were 60 million slaves. 60 million slaves. The population, roughly, of Britain in slavery in the Roman Empire. And so they were the lowest of the low. They were considered property. They could be branded as you would a cattle. And God comes and says, you know what? There are no slaves. There's no racial division. There's no gender division. There's no division of education, social standing, or background. Because in Christ, we are all made one. Only in the church. Because you see, birds of a feather flock together. So in the groups that we have and the groups that we belong to, Don likes his darts. It's only people who play darts. If I turned up with my golf club, Don, exactly. They would say, maybe they say, well, he's Irish, so we'll excuse him. But I'm not going to do very well at a game of darts with my golf club, am I? Similarly, if Don turns up to play golf with me and he says, yeah, I'm all prepared, and he brings his darts out, not going to get very far, is he? Because the world is based on personal preference and likes and this, and you're not like me. But the church means we're all level. All grace. All God's grace. And it's important because Paul defended the grace of God. Because he had to. Because even some of the religious leaders of the day were swayed by this. They were tending to compromise. Well, it's kind of, yeah, it's grace. But when they were under pressure, it was kind of a little bit, well, we better draw back. And because the Jewish believers are very vocal. It's one thing I've learned about the Jewish people. They're very vocal. They're willing to share their opinion, whether you want to hear it or not. And they were very vocal. And Paul has to say, no, no, no. I am going to defend this with my blood if necessary, because the grace of God is the defining mark of Christianity. Every other religion, you have to do something. Every other religion is about what you do, what you achieve, your works, and hopefully they balance one another out, and maybe God will let you into heaven. Christianity is defined by grace. God's grace as a free gift for salvation. That's amazing. So it's important we defend it. And we're not going to pursue this too much. But if you think Paul was living in a vacuum and Paul had it easy, just look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where he lists all of the things that he suffered in order to defend the gospel. The PDF will go on the website. Philip and the team put that up, so that'll be there. You can download it. You can look at all these things. He was flogged. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. He said he was in danger, even from his own friends who abandoned him. He was in danger from others. He was in danger from bandits. This guy lived on the edge. He was hungry. He was cold. He had sleepless nights, all for the sake of the grace of God. So this is a guy who needed courage. So don't come and say, oh, those guys had it easier. Oh, it must have been nice when Jesus was around. Really? No. We're living in times that are similar, where it's a supermarket of religions, where people can pick and mix. Oh, I like a little bit of that. I'll have a little bit of Jesus and something else. I'll have a little bit of Jesus and this and... No, no, no. It's Jesus only, not Jesus and. And that's what the early disciples faced. So they needed courage. They needed courage because the message of Jesus was not come and dine with me. Anybody like that program? They're hilarious. They're hilarious. I think the narrator, the voiceover guy is the funniest. He's brilliant, isn't he, Dave Lamb? Jesus says to us as we begin the journey, not come and dine with me, come and die with me. Come and die with me. Full on. Unless we take up our cross and follow him, we cannot be his disciple. So if you're looking for a nice, safe, comfortable, little warm, fuzzy feeling Christianity, it's not. Jesus says, come and die with me. So you need courage. Christianity is not for wimps. I know people say that. People think, oh, Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. No, Jesus needed courage, and we need courage to live in the grace of God, to follow him. Secondly, the grace of God means we have courage to let others live for Jesus. Let others. And Paul was aware, we looked at it last week a little bit, of this idea of unity. And God revealed it as his plan. God's plan, the Gentiles and Jews together make up that one body. But that's a whole bridge of culture. And as a church, we have all different cultures, don't we? All different backgrounds. We have all personal preferences. Well, that's not the way we did it. That's not the way we did it when I was back home. All of the things that we prefer. But the church of God isn't about personal preference. It's about God's purpose. It's about God's purpose. And his purpose isn't clear that together we make up the body of Christ. But that means we have to let other people live in grace. There are some fundamentals, and Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus died, Jesus buried, Jesus rose again. That's what he said is of first importance. A lot of other stuff, it's secondary items. But even people in the church can be so judgmental, can't they? I remember one time, a lady said to Bev, I don't like the way you do your hair. Is our face bothered? No. Because we're not doing it for you. But people feel at times they have the right. Pastor, you'll have faced this. I don't like the way you do this. I don't like the way you say this. I don't like this Bible version of you that you use. I don't like your shoes. I don't like your shirt. Do you like my shirt? Thank you. That's the right answer. So much personal preference, and so much that even the church can become divided on. Style of dress, style of worship, women leadership, the work of the Holy Spirit, the second coming of Jesus. So many people fall out over secondary issues of which people of godly opinion will disagree. That's okay. And Romans 14, Paul comes and says, I'm going to defend this gospel of grace. Why? Because we shouldn't be looking down on one another. We shouldn't be criticizing. We shouldn't be judging one another. Why? Because we belong to the Lord. Seven times in that short passage, he says, the Lord. Seven times he reemphasizes, your opinion is secondary. I love the quote from Jack Nicholson, who said, don't worry if people don't like you. Some people don't even like themselves. Huh? Isn't that true? Don't worry if some people don't like you. They don't even like themselves. And folks, we have to stop being judgmental towards others. We have to stop criticizing. We have to stop looking down on one another. Because you know what Paul says? If we do that, we will end up devouring one another. That's the image that he says in Galatians 5. And we have to stop that. And we are a church that believes in grace. God loves you as you are. He does, unconditionally, eternally. But he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. That's why he sends people like me. You're not sure about that, are you? Huh? You like the first bit, you're not sure about the second bit. Come on, Anthony, you can say amen to that. I'll say it for you. There are secondary issues that so often cause division. And Paul comes and says, do you know what? Style of dress, music, all of this stuff, it doesn't matter. It's secondary issues. We have to let others live in grace. Why? Because the real issue is acceptance. That's the real issue. The gospel is a gospel of acceptance. And Paul comes and says, you have to embrace grace and you need courage because you need to embrace others because God has accepted you in Christ. And if God has accepted you in Christ, we have to accept one another. We do. We're all different. Y'all can't be as good looking as Pastor Jonathan. Huh? Yesterday we were at an AOG meeting and one of the preachers, his family's from Nigeria. He's a pastor in Croydon and he celebrated his 50th birthday and he looks good for 50, Jordan. And he stood up and he said, "Black don't crack." That's what he said. Is that true? Hey? Well, not ask Philip his age. He keeps that well hidden, but I've seen his passport. He said, "Black don't crack." And I thought afterwards, "But white will wrinkle." I didn't say that. I just thought it. And the real issue is one of acceptance, because we're all different. We're all different shapes. We're all different sizes. We're different. But the key issue of the gospel is one of acceptance, because it's a gospel of grace that we have been accepted in Christ. Therefore, we have to accept one another. And that goes against our culture of individualism, doesn't it? That says, it's me, myself, and Irene. Yeah, some of you have seen the film. It's me, myself, and my opinion. No. Some of you come from cultures where you know the community is more important than the individual. Isn't that right? It takes the village to raise a child. Isn't that what they say? It's not just one person. It's not just individual. The Englishman's home is his castle. Those of you from other cultures, have you found that out? I know a pastor who said, he's in London, he's from Pakistan. He said, "I've been in the church 4 years, and this particular couple," he said, "they've been to my house probably 40 times. He said, "Not once have I been invited to theirs." I said, "Well, there you go. An Englishman's home is this castle." But the church of God should be different. We should be marked by something different. And the Bible word for that is fellowship. The relationship, the partnership, where we share with one another. You enjoying this? Huh? She's just come to check me out there. I'll be finished soon. But the Bible word is fellowship, where we have that partnership that comes out of acceptance. And I want to challenge you, if we believe in grace and acceptance, when was the last time you invited someone to your house? Seriously. And I don't mean me, because I'll invite myself. That doesn't count. Some of you have found that out, huh? When was the last time you just said, "I'm going to take initiative and invite someone"? We extend that hand of acceptance because it's a gospel of grace. Come on, folks. Let's be people of grace. Finally, quickly. The grace of God means we have the courage to be ourselves. We have the courage to be ourselves. Bonnie Ware worked in palliative care. She ended up writing the book. And she said the one thing that she noticed about dying people, that they often said this: "I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me." That's a powerful statement, isn't it? I wish I'd lived a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. And the grace of God will allow you to do this. Because God doesn't expect you to be like me. Come on. You were tempted to say amen. I heard it, Sarika. I heard it. But you know what the better news is? God doesn't expect me to be like you. Amen. Thank you. I received that. God gives us the grace to be ourselves, who God has made us. And that's exactly what Paul said. "I am what I am." Who knows it? By the grace of God. That's in old money. "I am what I am by the grace of God." This is what he says. "But whatever I am now, it's all because God poured out his special favor on me, his grace, and not without results. I've worked harder than any other apostles, yet it was not I, but God working through me by his grace." See, Paul understood his name, Paulus, in Latin means little or small. And Paul had a healthy view of himself. He didn't have a low self-esteem, but he did have an awareness of his own limitations. Some of you ladies are coming to that emotionally healthy group. and you're coming to realize that it's okay to have some of those feelings. Some of those feelings of anger, sadness, and fear, but it's okay to be yourself before God, isn't that right? God has made you unique. God has made you different. God has made you who you are by the grace of God. But here's the thing. That's not an excuse for a bad attitude. It's not an excuse for poor behavior. It's not an excuse for being grumpy and miserable as a Christian. You have not been baptized in vinegar. We believe in baptism in water and in the Holy Spirit. And the mark of the Holy Spirit is joy. That's Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and joy. Joy should mark us. We don't have to be miserable. We know some people are good at it, but it's not a requirement to be a Christian. God's grace allows us to be ourselves, but that's not an excuse for bad behavior. And it's not an excuse for kind of, this is what we see sometimes, that to fulfill our potential. The gospel is not a gospel of you fulfilling your potential. It's a gospel of receiving God's grace because you're aware of your limitations, you're aware of your weakness, you're aware that you need God's work in your life to be all He wants you to be. It's all by God's grace. Why is that important? Because we need to hear the words, and some of you need to hear this morning. We need to hear the words that the Father spoke of Jesus. This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I'm well pleased. You know the incredible thing? Jesus had done nothing at that point. No miracles, no ministry, no healings, nothing. Jesus had done nothing. And the Father says, you're worth something. And for all of us, we are made in the image of God. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you would want to keep hidden and not be putting on that screen. God says you are valuable. You are worth something because you're made in His image. Now that image has been marred and defaced because of sin. But God's grace restores that image in us. God's grace allows us to be ourselves fully as He intended. Because Ephesians 2 said, we are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus. The word that's used there is the word for poem and poetry. And though he may not look it, he may look like a bouncer on the loose, but Nick is actually a work of art. Nick is God's poetry. Did you realize that, Jordan? Jordan says yes. Good answer, Matt. We are all part of God's workmanship, and God has a work prepared for us. God loves us. God's favor is on us. That's what God's grace means. Not because we have done anything. If you were not able to take another breath, not able to do anything, God still loves you because He's decided to love you. I've loved you with an everlasting love. That's what He says through the prophet Jeremiah. So how should you respond? Because it requires a response, doesn't it? All of you will know, but let's say it for Pastor Jonathan's benefit. I'm not preaching for information. I'm preaching for? So we're looking for a response. How do you need to respond today? Some of you need to embrace grace. Some of you, for the first time, need to come before God and say, come on, I want this good news. I need this good news. How can I be saved? That's a biblical question. Peter preached and the crowd said, how can we be saved? How can we receive this grace? How can we receive this forgiveness? There's a verse in the Old Testament. It's listed there. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. You have to be born again. You have to receive His grace. It's not your own strength. And some of you have been Christians a long time, followers of Jesus, and you need to embrace grace because you're living your life by legalism and works. But that's not how it works. Having begun in the Spirit, can we now complete it by works of the law? That's what Paul said. No! It's always God's grace through the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, one version of Zechariah 4 says it right at the end, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Grace to it. Grace to it. I want to speak that over your life this morning. I want to speak God's grace to everything that you're facing. Grace to it. Grace to every difficulty. Grace to every pressure. Grace to every sense of guilt. Grace to every sense of shame. Grace to every sense of condemnation. Grace to it. Grace to it. Embrace grace this morning in Jesus' name. Second thing we have to do is embrace evangelism. Because this is such good news. We don't want to keep it to ourselves. We don't. We can't. Paul says, I am compelled to share the gospel. And one of the things Michelle has for you, why don't you just stand up, Michelle? Stand up, Michelle. There you go. Michelle has some invites for you that we want you to think about and pray. Who can you invite to the Hope Explored course? The good news is, if you bring someone, you get a free meal out of it. Huh? But we want you to prayerfully consider. And on the card it says, I am Andrew, because Andrew bought Peter. And Peter became a rock and a pillar in the church. He was one of the key founders. We can be Andrews. We can pray, we can share, we can bring, and we can follow up. And at the end of it, it just says, I pledge to pray for. Maybe just one person. Begin to pray for them. Begin to say, who can I invite? Who can I bring? Who can I share this good news of God's grace? Do you know what? You go into work, and if you sensitively say, do you know what? I have good news for you. No, I didn't win the lottery. It's even better than that. Because the Bible says it's the unsearchable riches of God's grace. The word that's used there, it's the unfathomable. It's hard to say. I'm not going to say it again. It's the depths that can't be fathomed. Do you know when you see David Attenborough go down in the sea and they're finding stuff in the depths that they've never seen before? Organisms and life forms they haven't been able to go because the pressure is so great on them. It's deeper than the deepest sea. It can't even be fathomed. Just watch her there. I don't want her tripping up with something. So I encourage you to embrace evangelism. And then the final one, and we close with this. Some of you need to embrace empowering. Need to embrace empowering. And that comes through the Holy Spirit. We believe in the work of the Holy Spirit. We are a Pentecostal church, which means we believe in the work of the Holy Spirit for today. We expect God to work in our life. We expect God to do something. We expect change. We expect transformation because that is the gospel of grace. If you haven't changed in 40 years, then there's something wrong. Seriously. If you've been in church for 40 years and you're still the same, God have mercy on you. Because God wants to bring change into our life. And that comes through the empowering and the Holy Spirit.